So tonight, being the Sunday just before Thanksgiving, we're having a message out of Philippians about thanksgiving for hard things. So we're going to read Philippians 4:4-13. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let your graciousness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That was a kind of the base scripture we use when we're having a prayer ministry in one of our churches. And the one lady who was with us almost all the time was amazed. She had never seen that before. She said, "That is the most wonderful thing I've ever seen." I said, "That's why I said it." Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any moral excellence, and if there is any praise, dwell on these things. Do what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that once again you renewed your care for me. You were, in fact, concerned about me, but lacked the opportunity to show it. I don't say this out of need, for I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know both how to have little and how to have a lot. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being content. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need, I'm able to do all things through Him who strengthens me. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this scripture that reassures us that we can depend on You. In Jesus' name, amen. So,
I don't know how come it's blurry.
What?
I don't know how come it's blurry.
It's blurry?
No, it's only blurry for me. It would help if I put my glasses on. Never mind, I didn't have my glasses on.
Okay.
Walter, Walter, never mind.
That's probably why then. Okay, so our question was, why do we give thanks? And we're looking at Paul giving thanks in the midst of a very bad situation.
He was in house prison at the time, right?
What?
Was he in house prison at the time?
Yes. He was in Rome, in a Roman prison, actually was in a house, but
he was
under guard by the Romans.
So because he was a Roman citizen, they didn't dare throw him in prison. They put him in a house and had him chained to a Roman guard.
So he can send letters and receive letters. And he's gotten gifts from Philippi to help him as he goes through all of his suffering here. As Pat said, they're not really sure what to do with him because he's a Roman citizen. And he had come there specifically to bring his case before the emperor because the Jews were saying, "You can't speak the things that you're speaking. We don't like them. They violate our religion," which it did not, but they, and their warped view, thought it did.
They arrested him, and they said that they couldn't try him where they arrested him. They had to send him to the emperor because he was a Roman citizen.
Right. So, he begins by saying, "Rejoice always," which is, once again, a little bit strange in the midst of his present situation. Even if you don't want to rejoice, you still need to rejoice because you still have salvation as a minimum. And it shows the Lord to others when you praise the Lord in a bad situation. Mm-hmm. It says, don't worry about stuff. Just tell God what you need. He'll supply it. He'll comfort you. And He'll give you His peace. That is one of my great struggles, to do that. I worry about things. Pat won't admit to it, but she worries about money continuously. We are well in good shape for our retirement, but Pat's not happy yet because she's sure there's going to be a catastrophe and we're going to be bankrupted. We are not. I'm working real hard on that. It says, keep your minds on the good stuff. And think of those things that are true. When you hear stuff, look at it and say, what about this is true? And if there isn't anything, then you discard it. What's noble? What's just a good thing to do and a good way to be? What's right? Sometimes we find ourselves in a position where we have to do the right thing, even though we may be told we can't. But we, as they say, you know, am I going to follow God or am I going to follow you? I'm going to follow God. I will do what's right, even if people don't like it. Do things that are pure. Because there's so much stuff that's kind of warped. We look around today and we're in worse shape than he was. And the Roman Empire actually crashed because of how debased it was. And we're in far worse shape. I found a thing today, however, that gave me encouragement. It said that young people are looking out at this and they're saying, these old guys are giving us a line of hooey, and we don't want to hear it anymore. We want to sit down and evaluate things and see what is the right thing to do. And when, for instance, the right side, the conservative guys say, well, how's all this liberal crap working? They're going, you're right. What do you want to do? And so they're examining things. And, of course, like the left is trying to teach them, you know, it's strange. There's a psalm that says that the righteous tend to the right and the evil tend to the left, which I pick on Pat about because she's lefty. But at any rate, strangely enough, we actually took our words from that in Latin, because in Latin, right is dexter, from which we get dexterity, even if you're doing it with your left hand. And left is sinister, and you know what we think of sinister, but sinister is to the left. I once used that in Dungeons and Dragons because they were talking about doing things sinister, and nobody could understand what they were trying to say, and I said, sinister is Latin for left, we need to go to the left. It was right. But at any rate, do things that are lovely. How many times have we seen people in church that does things that's just lovely? It's just nice. We say, that's a nice person. Maybe they bring flowers or whatever. Or maybe they'll come up and they say, you know, I'm praying for you. I'm holding you up from God. Lovely things. Admirable things. We see people that are doing things and we admire them. Now, once again, we had a guy who wanted to shoot Charlie Kirk, and he did it. But there's far more people who admired him. Not because he was going out and doing all these massive works and stuff, but simply because he was speaking the truth in love everywhere he went. And people admired him for that. And it says, do things that are excellent or praiseworthy. But what he's talking about is things that bring praise to God.
Right.
This guy does this because he's a Christian. Maybe I want to check out being a Christian. I have had people left and right in my military career who have said, Fletcher, there's something wrong with you. Or maybe there's something right with you. I'm not sure.
There's something different.
What is it? And they come to Christ simply because they said, you know, and once again, it was like if we're in a really bad situation. I had a really bad situation on one of my submarines and was a particular officer on board. It was a problem. But they said, why are you just so calm? And I said, well, I could still be in the Air Force. But, and that's true too. But the whole thing was just that you leave it to God. Okay? We recently had a bunch of yahoos who said you can disobey orders if you think they're not right. Not correct, but at any rate, I never had a problem with not worrying about that. I feel God set these people over me. If they give me an order, I'm supposed to follow it. And so you follow things that are excellent and praiseworthy and doing the right thing. And then he says, do what I taught you. Philippians is one of the first places that you see Paul taking the lead. Everywhere else he's going, oh, I'm a terrible person. I used to persecute the church and so on like that. Don't follow me. Go be the good Christian that you ought to be. I'll tell you how to do it, but don't follow me because I'm an awful person. And then later on he found out that that was kind of diluting his message, you think? But at any rate, he came to the point of saying, I realize you may not be seeing Jesus clearly because you're new. So follow me until you get a good vision of Jesus and then follow him. He says, do what I taught you. He's reconciled himself to being a model for them. To saying, this is the way it's going to be. I've told this before, but when I married my daughter, who was much to other people's displeasure, probably my favorite kid. I love Casey just because she's my little sweetheart. Not that I don't love my boys, but Casey's my little sweetheart. And I married her to Bryce, who turns out to be the best son-in-law anybody ever had in the history of the world. But at any rate, she said, Bryce thinks you don't like him. So I went over and I wanted to explain that I didn't dislike him. It's just that I didn't want anybody to have my little girl. But somebody's going to get her, so I choose you. You know? And so he says to me, Walter, you're my image of what a Christian man is supposed to be like. And I'm thinking, oh, thanks, Bryce. I need the pressure. But it is really what Christian men are supposed to be. They're supposed to be a model for young Christian men who are trying to get their stuff straight. Christian women are models for young Christian girls. Don't go out and act stupid. Don't get into mischief. You know, follow the Lord. And he says, give thanks for the gifts. Or he's giving thanks for the gifts that they've given him. He says, it's not because of need. I can live, you know, with not having much, or if I have a lot, I do, you know. It's like my son, Jeremiah, was given a guitar 3 times and gave them all away because he found somebody who needed it more. That's the way Jeremiah is. That's just the way he is. It's, you know. And I have often thought, I have a beautiful Takamine guitar at home, I ought to find somebody to give it to. But there's just something about that might. And Larry used to love it, and I don't want to give it away. But at any rate, he says he can live as he needs, whatever the Lord provides. And he can do whatever Jesus sets up for him to do. So what does this mean to us? I'm almost done. You can feel better. Rejoice in the Lord. Always. Keep rejoicing in the Lord, no matter what the situation is. Keep your mind on the good stuff. Don't worry about the bad stuff. We leave that to God. You rejoice for the good stuff. You keep your eyes on the good stuff. Oh, look at how much wonderful thing God has given us. I suddenly realized at one point, this was 2 motorcycles ago, that God had given me this little Sportster Harley and that I loved it not because of, oh, possessiveness, I loved it because he had used me with that to go and minister to people. Mm-hmm. And so it was not that I loved the bike, it's that I love God for giving me the bike that I enjoyed so much. Keep your mind on the good stuff. And watch your leaders. Hopefully we've got good leaders. I take this very seriously. When I became a pastor, it scared the daylights out of me. Because suddenly, and our pastor who loves to torment me, said, now you have to be the example for all of these people. And I'm going, yeah, thanks, Dave. I need the pressure. But at any rate, I also discovered that I got this feeling that I didn't know what it was after church. And this older pastor at Rock of Hope said, Walter, that's called fulfillment. It's God telling you, you did good, boy. Enjoy it. So we need to watch our leaders and follow them when they're doing the right things. And if they go off the line, you know, Jimmy Swaggart was a big example of this. They go off the line, we say, okay, I'm not going to follow them there, but I'll pray for them to come back. Always, always rejoice in the Lord. Because if you got nothing else, you got salvation. There's a bunch of people going to hell, and we're not. Okay? And as Dr. Jeremiah says, I want to take as many people to heaven with me as possible. So that's what we're doing. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. Oh, we've been here tonight. We'd ask you to bless us and guide us and go with us and help us to rejoice in all things, no matter what. Make us the people you want us to be. And help me to get my eyes squared right so that I can read again. In Jesus' name, amen.
You read just fine.
Thanks for being here, guys.